Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. This week's introduction is of the where do I start variety, Silicon Valley staple, agile and accomplished consultant and corporate evangelist, a venture capitalist, legacy employee of Steve Jobs' Macintosh project, person of values and morals, and so very many entertaining stories from his life. Guy Kawasaki has been a fixture of the tech world since joining Apple's Macintosh team in the 1980s. He is currently the chief evangelist at Canva, the Australian unicorn, and a brand ambassador for Mercedes-Benz. His best-selling books include The Art of the Start 2.0, The Art of Social Media, and Enchantment. They have established him as an expert in innovation, entrepreneurship, venture capital, and marketing. But his new book is a radical departure from the other 14 that he's written.
People like Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, they write autobiographies or memoirs. This is more a collection of stories that shape my life. It's like chicken soup for the soul, except all my stories. So I tell people it's miso soup for the soul.
Wise Guy is told in a series of vignettes. It details Guy's wide range of experience and the lessons he's learned. We're going to unpack some of those life lessons with Guy, starting now.
My name is Guy Kawasaki. I am, well, many things. Chief evangelist of a company called Canva, brand ambassador for Mercedes, and author of a new book called Wise Guy.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk with you, Wise Guy, Lessons from a Life. You were on the Macintosh team back in the day with a mutual friend of ours, Andy Cunningham. And yep. I used to work with Andy as a consultant on a contract base. I remember Andy and I were having a dinner one night, and I said, "How many times did Steve hire and fire you?" And she said, "Four." And she remembers each of them very distinctly. Do you have any Steve stories? How many times did he let you go?
He did not let me go at all. Maybe it's because I was beneath the radar, unlike Andy. But anyway, my favorite Steve story is one day I'm working in my cube. He shows up with somebody I never met. He asks me about a company and its product. I tell him it's a mediocre product, mediocre company, doesn't matter to us. And then he says, "I want you to meet the CEO of the company." So welcome to the world according to Steve Jobs.
Right on. Let's go back to your book. This is, would you call it a memoir?
No, I think a memoir or autobiography is a little too serious for this.
Right.
Because, people like Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, they write autobiographies or memoirs. This is more a collection of stories that shape my life. It's like chicken soup for the soul, except all my stories. So I tell people it's miso soup for the soul.
Right on. I love the way it's formatted. I want to talk about that in just a second. But just real quick, we'll sketch it out. The context, basically, you take a topic like immigration, inspiration, your time at Apple gets its own chapter, parenting, sport, et cetera. And you kind of like tease it out. But the way it's formatted is really cool. You have some pictures in here, which are always nice because you get some of your family history. But then you've got the wisdom blocks that come with it. Why did you tease that out like that? Why is it formatted that way?
I wanted to make it as easy as possible. So, each story has a lesson or a wisdom attached to it. And I didn't want people to have to think about, so what was the lesson there? I wanted them to understand this is what I think the lesson is. And lots of people have read the book already in testing.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Oh, yeah, I wanted to communicate this to my kids, so I told them your story." So that's the perfect use for this. I want to make it easy for people. It's like Guy's fables.
right. And these are little lift outs. It's perfect. Guy, I want to land on one in specific, and that is the chapter on values. I found that that chapter is about 23 pages long, but there is so much packed into that. Can we unpack a little bit of that? And how did you get started with values? Why did you decide that needed its own chapter?
Because some people have exhibited such great values that was such great lessons to me. There have been a couple people who never had to honor word of mouth agreements, contracts, stuff that brought me a lot of money. And in this day and age, where everybody has to have a contract and both sides have lawyers and negotiate everything, it was pure honor. And I'm referring to Steve Case of AOL, mm-hmm. Patrick Lohr of iStock Photo. And, you know, I mean, honor counts. It still exists in the world.
I was taken with that story where you were offered, basically over a dinner table conversation, you were offered options if you would advise a company. And, you know, years later, Steve Case circled back on that.
Yes.
What was that experience like? Were you kind of taken aback that he looped back on you and was like, hey, did you ever get that stuff?
Aback would be a wrong word. I was just so pleasantly surprised. And, of course, if I had known that those 2,000 shares of AOL would be like the proverbial fishes and loaves of bread,
right.
The gift that kept on giving, oh my God, I would have been even more shocked at that point. But no, he really did not have to do that. I would not have held it against him, and yet he did it.
Right.
And despite the fact that he went to Punahou and I went to Iolani, I still appreciate that.
So, right.
That's an inside story for people from Hawaii.
Well, you know what they say. You give a man a fish, you feed him for the day. Give a man AOL shares, and he's fine for a while. You know, one other thing that you pull out, too, here is you used your own example of a speaking fee. Let's talk about that one just real quick, because I think it speaks to character, if you will. If we were in court, I would pull it out as your defense lawyer and say this is a man's character. You didn't have to do this speech because you knew you weren't going to get paid.
Yeah, so there's several levels of story here. So the way the speaking business works is a client pays an agent. After you speak, the agent pays you. And so the client has already paid the agent before you even get on the plane, even though the speaker has not been paid because the speaker has to actually show up and do the thing. So I had an experience where an agent sort of disappeared on me with the money from the client. But the client had done everything the client was supposed to do, i.e. pay the agent. So I couldn't just call up the client and say, hey, you know, the agent has disappeared. I'm never going to get paid. I'm not showing up, because the client did what it was supposed to do. So that was a question of, do I stiff them?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I go make the speech knowing I'll never be paid? And, you know, I made the choice to go make the speech knowing I'll never be paid, because I don't think when clients talk to each other, they're going to say, well, Guy Kawasaki would have showed up except he got screwed. All they're going to say is Guy Kawasaki did not show up.
Right.
And
right.
That wasn't worth the risk.
That's just not acceptable for your values. And I have to say, the values chapter is fantastic. It has this Roy Disney quote that I had never heard before. It's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are. And you've been living this a while. Also, I have to say, Guy, this book could have come across as a humble brag in a lot of ways. But knowing you and knowing how genuine you are, it doesn't come across that way. Let's talk about the Hillsboro Doughboy. I had an intern once who went on to win an Emmy, and I was very proud of that, right? You had an intern once who went on to other things.
Yeah. So back when I was at Apple, we hired for my department Mark Benioff. And Mark Benioff, this is his freshman year at USC, he wrote assembly language example programs for Macintosh. And fast forward, you know, he's this mega billionaire philanthropist, Salesforce.com founder, and, you know, he's the man. And so that's a good story in and of itself, right? You know, you just never know. Right? Be nice to your interns.
That's a good point.
Even better, years later, I asked him to give my son an opportunity to work at Salesforce, also someone else at Apple who was my boss, and he came through. I mean, he, you know, opened the door for them, and he didn't have to do that either.
That was Guy Kawasaki, whose recent book, Wise Guy, is his 15th title. He's an author, advisor, investor, and corporate evangelist. It's an accessible, eminently readable take on his life and the lessons he picked up along the way. I mean, Guy's team at Apple had Mark Benioff as an intern back in the day. Coming up after the break, we stick with Guy and his new book. And then later in the show, we peel the onion that is 21st century marketing and just how they gauge a customer's lifetime value. Then we dig into Apple versus Samsung part deux from the courtroom. That's all next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.
And I think you'll notice that if you happen to change the world, you will also probably make money. But if you start off with the sole desire to make money, you probably won't make money, you won't make meaning, you won't change the world, and you will probably fail. So my first thought for you is determine how you can make meaning. How can you change the world? Here are some examples. With Apple, Apple wanted to democratize computers. They wanted to bring computing power to everyone. That's the meaning they made. With Google, they wanted to democratize information, making information available to everyone. With eBay, they wanted to democratize commerce so that anyone with a website could stand toe-to-toe with any other large retailer. Examples of companies making meaning, and YouTube finally wanted to enable people to create video, to upload video, to share video. So this is an example of the company and the kind of meaning they made. And as you know, they all made this kind of meaning, and they've been highly, highly successful. So what I noticed in my career is that if you truly want to make meaning, it's the first step towards innovation. The second step is to make a mantra, a 2 or 3, maybe 4-word explanation of why your meaning should exist. This is an anti-example. This is the mission statement of Wendy's. The mission of Wendy's is to deliver superior quality products and services for our customers and communities through leadership, innovation, and partnerships. I have been through Wendy's many times in my life. I've eaten at Wendy's, I've driven through Wendy's, and in every occasion, it has never occurred to me that, Guy, what you are participating in is leadership, innovation, and partnerships. You know, excuse me, but I thought I was just getting French fries, Coke, and a hamburger. This is the problem with mission statements. Don't make a mission statement. Make a mantra. Wendy's mantra should be healthy, fast food. 3 words that determine what Wendy's is trying to do. Somewhat oxymoronic, but healthy, fast food. Nike. Nike has a great slogan, just do it. That's a slogan. A mantra explains why you should exist. And the Nike mantra is authentic athletic performance. And finally, there's FedEx. When you absolutely, positively want something somewhere, what does FedEx stand for? It stands for peace of mind. So my second recommendation to you is that when you decide on the kind of meaning you make, try to find 2 or 3 words that describe why that meaning should exist. Not a 50-word mission statement, 2 or 3-word mantra.
Guy uses a top 10 format for that talk, so if you can click through, you'll get the other 8 points of innovation. For links to Wise Guy, to that TEDx talk, and to all of our archived podcasts, please check the show notes in the podcast or online at kgoradio.com. Techonomics is also online at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio, and I'm on Twitter at KGO Jason. For executive producer Lee Hammer, I'm the host and the writer Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.